Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, The Prophet Jeremiah. When Jeremiah called for Judah to repent, his proclamation was negated by the prophets and priests who told the people not to worry, since the temple was located in Jerusalem, and they could not imagine that God would destroy his own temple. The Lord revealed to Jeremiah the catastrophic destruction that occurred prior to the creation of Adam and Eve, and how he was willing to pardon the people of Judah if just one righteous person could be found in Jerusalem. Sadly, there was nothing but deception among the people, and Jeremiah summarized them as being without understanding. Why would God pardon them when they wallowed in sin? The entire political system in Judah had become corrupt, and rich, dishonest businessmen oppressed the poor. The prophets spoke lies, and the priests were corrupt. Why would God save Judah from destruction when they blatantly ignored him? The thick walls of Jerusalem would be destroyed, and the city would be put to fire as a reminder to the people of their rebellion. This message is entitled, Judgment Without Mercy. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church worldwide. And we're going to continue today with the prophet Jeremiah. Let me just have a short prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now that we have this opportunity to get into the Word and to find out what you have spoken in the past, because you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I pray right now, Lord, that you will touch the people that are listening or watching. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to start in Jeremiah, and this is going to be in chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4, we're going to start from verse number 5. But I want you to lay a foundation. Jeremiah worked for 40 years as a prophet. He had a long run. 38 years, there was no judgment. So for 38 years, life was good in Judah. People were making money. They had a good time, and they simply said, you know, this guy, this prophet here, is talking about judgment. We're having a good time. So I want you to understand that God works on long-term warnings. Long-term warnings. When a judgment came, it was catastrophic. President Trump is now a year and a half into his presidency. Possibility that God will allow him to be reelected. You might be looking at another 4 years. It's a very short time right now that we have in this nation. And the question is, are we going to take that opportunity or not take it? I have a book here called Bitter Fruit, Kabbalah Book Number 8. And the reason I'm taking it with me in here is simple this. This book will explain to you why things are happening today in the world. And this is a book that if you read that, you will understand, you will know how to pray, and so on. So let me explain it to you. Education is the key to success. This is why God spoke to Moses and said, "Will you come into the land, have people, have the next generation, rehearse what happened in the past, write it, put it on the doorpost, the windows, daily. Tell the young people, the children, this is what happened in Egypt. This is what God did for us. This is who you are. And this is what God wants you to do in your life." God simply knew this. We are one generation from extinction. One generation. If you study communism, Karl Marx, realized this, that in order for communism to take a hold, they had to work on the long term. The first thing that the Bolsheviks did, or the butchers in Russia, was that they killed all public school teachers. Every teacher in Russia, every policeman, all civil servants, all intelligentsia, all the leadership were systematically killed off. And then they started a new educational system. They had the pioneers, the cosmopol, and then you had the Communist Party and so on. And it took 2 to 3 generations to brainwash the people into a new thinking. When Lenin died, he was actually murdered by Stalin. Stalin had all history books to be pulled in, and they rewrote them according to Stalin's thinking. When Stalin died, Khrushchev came in. He simply said, bring in all the books, history books. We're going to rewrite them. And the same thing happened when Brezhnev came in, and so on. The same story with the Jehovah's Witnesses. They always rewrite their history. And in the 1850s, in the United States, the world government people who lived at that time, they knew this. We are not going to see our king, the devil, in our lifetime. We work on a long term. But we need to take over the educational system. That's exactly what's done. And that's what this book is talking about, Bitter Fruit. So you understand why people are the way they are today. There are 2 types of dogs. You have nice dogs and you got nasty dogs. If you have a nasty dog, you can't blame the dog. He's nasty because his owner is nasty. A nice owner got a nice dog. The dog reflects the owner. And so the young people of today, in the 20s and 30s and 40s, have been educated by the devil, for the devil, and they are singing for the devil. What's the antidote? The gospel. We have the Holy Spirit working. So having said that, let's get into now Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 5 and 9. And what was written 2,600 years ago is still good for us today. And we read this. Declare you in Judah, publish in Jerusalem, and say, blow you the trumpet in the land, cry, gather together and say, assemble yourselves, and let's go into the defense cities. Set up a standard toward Zion, retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. The lion has come up from his thicket and destroyed the Gentiles on his way. He's gone forth from his place to make the land desolate, and your city shall be laid waste without inhabitant. For this gird you with sackcloth, lament and howl, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. And it shall come to pass in the days of the Lord, that the heart of the king shall perish, and the heart of the princes, and the priests shall be astonished, and the prophets shall wonder. God spoke to Jeremiah now and said, gather the people, declare, blow the trumpet, let people know that something is about to happen, and we need to repent. Look around the United States this year. It's been a devastating year as far as the weather is concerned. Right now we got fires burning in the west. We have had floods. We had deluges. We had hurricanes coming. There's been a lot of different things. Yet people have money. Life is good. Economy is booming. But you see, there's a day coming in the future, a day of judgment. And God wants us to prepare right now. He wants us now to begin to speak to people. Now, Jeremiah felt that the Lord had deceived the people in speaking about peace. But in reality, a sword was coming down that would destroy them. Look in verse number 10. Then said I, our Lord God, surely you have greatly deceived his people in Jerusalem, saying, you shall have peace, which the sword reaches unto the soul. At that time shall it be said to this people, to Jerusalem, a dry wind of the high place in the wilderness, to the daughter of my people, not to fan, not to cleanse. Even a full wind from those places shall come to me. Now also will I give sentence against them. Behold, he shall come up as a cloud, his chariot shall be as a whirlwind. His horses are swifter than eagles. Woe unto us, for we are spoiled. Remember this. The time of the Antichrist is coming. At the time when Jeremiah was speaking, God was going to use the Babylonians to come and destroy the land. We are now 2,600 years later. And we are now coming down toward the end times. You got to understand now, time will be no more. The next judgment that's going to come is going to be worldwide. It's going to be when the Antichrist system takes over and every nation has to submit, including the United States. Hopefully, that is a few years down the road. We do not know when God allowed President Trump to come in. It set back the globalists, the world government, the Antichrist system. It set them back for years. If he's elected another 4 years, it's going to give us more time. But I want you to understand, eventually, the Antichrist system will come. Our purpose right now should be prepare ourselves, preach the gospel, and learn how to do deliverance. Deliverance should be done in every church so that every Christian born again can function 100%, not struggle and barely making it. This is what we're at right now. Now, Jeremiah was overwhelmed with grief. It affected his whole body, as he saw nothing but destruction around him. Let's read from verses 19 here and down. My bowels, I'm pained at my very heart. My heart makes a noise in me. I cannot hold my peace, because you have heard, O my soul, the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled, and my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? Jeremiah saw in a vision what's going to happen. At the time when he wrote this, there was great prosperity in Judah. People had lots of money. Times were good. They had luxury. And they simply said, life is good. But Jeremiah saw beyond that time. He saw the destruction, the death of the people, of them entering into hell. And he simply got beside himself. This week, I saw something that I thought was very interesting. And I don't know who put it out, but it was a conservative group that put it out. And he simply said this: heavens have borders, but hell does not. To get to heaven, you have to be born again. There is a checking time. You can't just say, well, I'm going to run into heaven. I'm just going to cross the border and say, I'm here. I'm seeking asylum. You cannot enter the heaven. It has very strong borders. You talk about walls. It's a big wall. There's only one entry, only one gate. And his name is Jesus. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. Hell has no borders. The Bible says, you know, hell has enlarged itself. They take anyone. And that's why it's called hell. So we need to think right now. Maybe 10 years down the road. Maybe 15. Maybe 4. Maybe 50 or 100 years. There will be a generation in America, in all the countries in the world. And suddenly, the Antichrist system is here. And they are close to the end of times. I want you to think about hell right now. I want you really to understand this. If you commit a crime and you are sentenced to prison, you have a time, let's say you get 5 years or 6 years, whatever it is. You know that eventually you will come out. But the moment your body dies, and you are not born again, you do not know Jesus. Angels will be there. They will pick you up. And it will be processed into hell. Matter of fact, in hell right now, there's going to be about 300,000 people in the next 24 hours are going to die. About 300,000. Maybe 5,000 will go to heaven. But they're going to process more than 250,000 people into hell. When you get to hell, there's a processing. You get up there, they check you in, they take your fingerprints, you get your certain attire, they run they see what you have done in the life of this earth. And they assign you. They have spots. They are chains. And then after you are processed, you're taken to your spot. You're chained to your spot. And then they turn on the fire and the torment according to what you've done. Imagine now that you're taken down there. And suddenly you realize, wow, I'm getting checked into hell. This is not good. I'm not going to get out of here. And you talk to the angels that are checking you in and preparing you. And you say, you know, is there any way? I really want to talk to Jesus. I want to talk to Jesus. And they would tell you, shut up. You had your chance. This is it. Life is over. Can you imagine your feeling? And then, when you get to your place, and they shackle you down, and you realize, I'm stuck here, and then the flame comes, and the torment begins, and you scream, and then the flame is held back, and you go like this, and boom, it comes again on you. And then you realize, this is bad. But I got a court date, the great white throne judgment. And there, I'll be sentenced to the lake of fire. Once I'm in the lake of fire, I will never get out. Year in, year out, year in, 1,000 years, 10,000 years, 5 billion years, it will roll and roll. I will never get out. I am doomed forever. Christians, I want you to think about that. I want you to understand the agony when people die without Christ. It should motivate us to witness, to pray for the lost, and to do what we can to keep as many as possible out. Do you realize how privileged you are? You're born again. You're going to go to heaven. How many of 7 billion people living on earth right now, or 6 billion, whatever it is, how many know Jesus? Very few. Do you realize you got saved by grace? Let's not put our noses up. Let's not say, oh, we are great people. We should be grateful people, realizing how privileged we are, praising God every day. In verse number 22, God said this, "For my people is foolish. They not know me. They are solid children. They none understand that are wise to do evil. But to do good they have no knowledge." Now when I read this verse this week, I saw the word sottish. And I said, I've never seen that word before. Most of us are lazy. And we don't look it up. We just let it slide. Laziness. What does it mean? It means to be drunk or stupid. Let me read it again. "For my people are drunk and stupid. They have not known me." They are stupid, drunks, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil. Why are they wise to do evil? Because they have been trained to do evil. But to do good, they have no knowledge. That's us today. Now, this last week, we saw people in England protest against President Trump. I thought that was stupid. You know, he's not their president. He's the president of our country. They should be working instead of demonstrating. And it's futility. What does it change? Nothing. Then you have people up in Scotland. And I heard one guy, they asked one guy, he said, "No, why are you demonstrating? You live in Scotland. What's the problem?" He said, "My problem is this. Trump is against global warming. He's not taking care of the climate. I'm getting globally warmed. That concerns me. That's what I'm protesting." You know what? Talk about stupidity. So we need to understand that when you go up to somebody and tell them, you know, that they need to be saved and so on, they're going to laugh at you. But we need to pray. Remember what Jesus said. Before you spoil the strong man's house, you got to bind him. Or you cannot spoil his house. If we just grab cold turkey and we begin to try to witness, it might work occasionally. But if you are home and you say, "Father God, today lead me to someone that I can share Christ with," and then you bind the strong man in a person you're going to meet, now you can present the gospel. But you see, we don't know to understand how to fight in the spirit world. A look in the past. This is absolutely flabbergasted, if you really want to think about it. Turn to Jeremiah 4. We're going to look at verse number 23 right now. When God spoke revelations and so on, he gave us tidbits. You get a glimpse of something, and you got to put it together with other things. So here now, in Jeremiah 23, chapter 4, God is saying now, this happened before Adam and Eve. I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, they had no light. Flip, keep your finger down, flip to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Verse 24. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled. And all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. And I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness, and all the cities thereof were broken down at the presence of the Lord, and by his fierce anger. God now simply is telling Jeremiah to tell the people this. There was a time before when the earth had been destroyed. It was a total devastation. Judah is going to be a total devastation. And he warned us. Now, the people there did not understand it. They couldn't understand it. And if you turn, keep your fingers in Jeremiah, and turn to Revelation chapter 12. And we now have another revelation what took place. Verse number 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. The dragon fought against his angels. And prevailed not. Neither was a place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the little serpent called the devil. And Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. That was a war. Destruction. But what God wants to share with us is this. Total destruction. God then begins with a different warning. Let me continue here from verse number 30. We're going to finish up this chapter here. And we read this. For this shall the earth mourn, and the heavens above be black, because I have spoken it. I purposed it. I will not repent, neither will I turn back from it. The whole city shall flee for the noise of the horsemen and bowmen. They shall go into thickets, climb up into the rocks. Every city shall be forsaken, and not a man dwell therein. And when you are spoiled, what will you do? Do you clothe yourself with crimson? Do you deck yourself with ornaments of gold? Do you rent your faith with painting? In vain shall you make yourself fair. Your lover despise you. They that seek your life, for I have heard the voice of a woman in travail, and the anguish as of her that bring forth her first child, the voice of the daughter of Zion, that bewailed herself, that spread her hands, saying, woe is me now, for my soul is wearied, because of murderers. This is given in the time of prosperity. But we know, because we are not living afterwards, the day came when Jerusalem fell. All the cities in Judah were destroyed. The people were lined up by the thousands and by thousands. And they had to walk. They walked from Jerusalem. They walked up through Syria. They walked up around into Turkey and Iraq and came down into Babylon. It probably took them a month to walk, chained, a whole nation. And I'm sure, as they walked, they said, you know, why didn't we listen to Jeremiah? We didn't believe him. What was wrong with us? Why were we so stupid? You know, the problem is that people will not repent until it is almost too late. In Jeremiah chapter 5, verse number 1, we find another strong warning. And God told Jeremiah, run you to and fro through the cities of Jerusalem, and see now no one seeking a broad place thereof. If you can find a man, if there be any that execute judgment, that seeks the truth, and I will pardon it. God said, give me one man, and I will pardon the nation. And today we are asking, give us one man. We are sitting here in the Sacramento area. Our ministry, we have approximately 3 million people living here. It's a vast area. We've got a number of different cities. About 3 million people are living here. And over the years, we've been trying to break into this area, and we've had churches, have our churches destroyed a number of times. And today, from the Sacramento area, no one was to come to this ministry. We have people in the fringes, like from Davis, coming. But you know, we have Marysville, Yuba City, Wheatland, we got a number of cities, Auburn, and we can't get people to come. There's a wall, an invisible wall. Now, why is it that we reach people in Oregon, state of Washington, North Carolina, Florida, all over the world? People are coming to us, Southern California, other places, but we can't get the locals to come. It is impossible for us. Years ago, I was labeled anti-Semitic. Every pastor in this area, they simply said, John Terrell is anti-Semitic. And it's all you have to do, just to brush him over like that, and no one comes. Do you know why? Because people from all over the world are asking for deliverance. They want to come here. But in order to have a hospital, you got to have doctors, nurses. You got to have custodians. You got to have cooks. And the devil said, you ain't going to get any. And here we sit in a sea of 3 million people. And this is what we needed to pray for us, that God would break and shatter that wall, that we'd be able to get people locally, to train them so we can have a ministry in helping people. God said to him, go and run to and fro and find one man. You know, some time ago, we had a man here from Sacramento. He's a Christian leader. He was bound by demons, suffered. He came here. He got deliverance. He's doing great. But you know, I needed a couple of hundred people like that, that would stay. We get excited with visitors, but I learned this. You visit us one time, that's fine. If you come back, now I'm getting a little bit excited. If you come back a third or the fourth time, now I'm really going to get excited. You're just sitting in a chapel today. Your seats are coveted, but few will be to find them. Let's go on to verse number 2 now, chapter 5. And though you say the Lord lives, surely they swear falsely. There's going to be a lot of deception. And we have a lot of deception around us today. And then, verses 3 and 5. O Lord, are not your eyes upon the truth? You have stricken them, but they are not grieved. You have consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Therefore, he said, surely these are poor. They are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. I will get me unto the great man, I will speak unto them. For they have known the way of the Lord, and the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke, and burst the bonds. People are without understanding. If you go to a restaurant, and they have some contaminated food, they got some salmonella germs in their food, and you eat the big bowl of salad or whatever they have, I can guarantee you this, that give it about 4 hours, and you're going to be in the emergency room, vomiting your grin in your face, and just in total pain. And the reason is, you eat germs, you eat garbage, you will get sick. Simple. But you see, you don't learn that until after you're sick. So there's a lot of things that are around us that is not good for us. And we say, oh, well, that's okay, that's okay, that's okay. And then when you're sick, we scream, God, I need to be delivered. I need help. And God said, I talked to you yesterday. I warned you. Yeah, Lord, I know. Please have mercy. That's a human race. Why can't we get smart? Know this. If I go out and buy shoes that are 3 sizes smaller than my feet, and I push them in there and I walk in them, I am going to get deformed feet. I'm going to have pain. In verse 6, wherefore lying out of the forest shall slay them, and the wolf of the evening shall spoil them, and lepers shall watch over their cities. Everyone that goes out then shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many, and their backsliding are increased. I purchased a book recently, I'm reading. What happened in Europe after 1945 when the war was over? And I lived in Sweden. We were not scarred by the war. But I did not know that for about 10 years after the war, it was hell in Europe, in all the different countries. There was destruction. There was no work. There was nothing. And people struggled. And they did not understand when they were warned prior to the war started. Repent. And this is what I see right now. We really need to ramp up. Somebody said, why are you in the book of Jeremiah? There's nothing but bad news in it. Well, there's bad news coming down the road. And you and I need to focus and learn what bad news is. We need to get a compassion and a fire burning in our bosom. God is saying this, how and why should I pardon them? Look in verse number 7. How shall I pardon you for this? Your children have forsaken me, sworn by them that are not gods. When I have fed them to the full, they committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. God simply said this. Why should I pardon them? Do you realize that the unsaved people that we have around us, they don't know how to pray. They're not going to pray. They don't know that they're going for destruction. They're not going to help themselves. Somebody led you to Christ. You remember that? Somebody led you to Christ. Somebody prayed for you when you were in your sins. Somebody reached out, and you got saved. Shouldn't you and I now begin to pray for the lost and say, God, these ungodly people we see in the stores, in the restaurants around us, we had them all around, they don't know how to pray. God, use me to pray for their salvation. Use me, Lord, to pray for them. And we will see a revival. In verse number 8, and this is the way it is today, they were as fed horses in the morning, everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. You that have been around horses, have you heard them when they make their noises? They neigh. You heard that? Now, God has humor. He said, the men are just like these horses. That's the noise they make. And he's seen these other women, their husband's wife. And everyone is lusting after somebody else's wife. Is that true today? Yes, it is. Shall I not visit for these things of the Lord? And shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? God is simply saying this. I am justified in punishing them. Verses 10 through 13. Go ye up upon the walls and destroy, but make not a full end. Take away your battlements, for they are not the Lord's. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, says the Lord. They had belied the Lord and said, it is not he, neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword nor famine. They have lied, and they simply misrepresented. Belied means to misrepresent. Take a survey. We have about 10 to 15 Christian channels in the United States. And it's the same group every day, you know. You have Creflo Dollar, you got Kenneth Copeland, you know, you got all these different guys. I mean, you know, Joyce Myers. And they all have the same message. Give me your money and I will make you rich. You know, you got to sow the seed and stuff like this. Same message every day. TBN and all the others. These people living high on the hogs, got their own airplane. They don't have a propeller airplane. They have a jet airplane. You know, they don't have one house. They have vacation houses in different places. I mean, they're living high on the hogs. At the same time, they're saying, you know, you got to sow. We got to have some more money. We got to get the gospel out, you know, bring your money. And here people are dumber than dumb. And they're sending in their money to these guys. And they're laughing and saying, ha, 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 you know, these are stupid sheep. That's America today. How many of the networks, Christian networks, are really preaching that we need repentance? We don't need for leadership to live high on the hogs. We need to use the money wisely. To minister. God was disgusted. His word, and he said his word will be like fire, and it would devour them. Look at verses 14 through 17. Wherefore thus says the Lord God of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words of your mouth fire, and this people would, and shall devour them. Lord, I will bring a nation upon you from far, O house of Israel, says the Lord. It is a mighty nation. It's an ancient nation. And nations with language you do not know, nor understand what they say. The quiver is an open sepulchre. They are all mighty men. They shall eat up your harvest and the bread which your sons and your daughters should eat. They shall eat up your flocks and your herds. They should heap up the vines and the fig trees. They should empower your fenced cities where you trust us with a sword. We have a strong defense in the United States. But you know, God can take that down in no time at all. We need to understand judgment is coming. In verse 18, God said this, "Nevertheless, in those days, says the Lord, I will not make a full end with you." God said, "I'm going to have a remnant." And he said a remnant. He's going to do the same thing when we come into the time of the Antichrist. There's going to be a remnant of men and women that will not take the mark of the beast, that will be able to survive. And those are the people God's going to use to repopulate the earth during a 1,000-year kingdom. There is going to be a remnant. But the majority of the people will perish. What the people asked why God was doing this to them, God gave an answer. Verse number 19 through 25. "And it's going to pass when you shall say, wherefore does the Lord our God all the things unto us? Then you shall answer them, like as you have forsaken me and served strange gods in your land, so shall you serve strange in the land that is not yours." If you go down to the Bible Belt, go to the East Coast, Mid-America, Midwest, place out here with burning, there are people today that lost everything. They lost their homes, cars, everything is gone, and they're just walking around. And you know when you lose something like this, where do you go? I want you to think about this. You live in an apartment house, and let's say your apartment house burns down. You lost all your clothing. You lost all your computers. You lost everything you have. You got the clothes on your back. Where do you go? They're not going to give you welfare. You go to the Red Cross. And then you see when you go to the Red Cross, and you go to the Salvation Army, you're going to look at handouts and stuff that people gave, like you and I give. We give stuff we don't want. And that's where you start out, getting some socks and underwears and some things, you know, a bed to sleep in. And then you ask, you know, why was I not thankful before? You and I don't understand that we are just a moment from disaster. If we had a major earthquake in California today, right now, it would be destruction in the Bay Area, in the Los Angeles area. And there would be millions of people that would come like ants crawling inland, coming into the cities that are not destroyed. And those people would not be benign. They would simply demand, "I want food, I want this, I want that." It's going to be ugly. And God warned. "Declare this in the house of Jacob and probably in Judah, saying, hear now this, of foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not." I want to read that verse again. "Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear you not me, says the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by perpetual decree, that he cannot pass it, and to the waves that have tossed themselves, yet can they not prevail? Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it? But this people has a revolting and rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us not fear the Lord our God, that gives rain by the former and the latter in season. He reserved unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities had turned away the things. Your sins have withholden good things from you. As a cage is full of birds, so the house is full of deceit. Therefore they have become great and waxen rich. They are waxen fat, they shine, yet they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fathers. Yet they prosper, and the right of the needy do they not judge." This is where we are today in the world. There's corruption, there's rebellion, and the businessmen are getting fat, the bankers are getting fat, and we're simply living in a prosperity. without repentance. The political system is corrupt. God simply said this in verse 29 to 31. Shall I not visit for their thing, says the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? A wonderful, horrible thing is coming to the land. The prophet prophesied falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? Look at America today. Today, 50 million people are in church. You have churches just about every corner of the cities. And they all are having services, music, preaching something, coffee, donuts in the lobby. Sometimes they even have it in the, take it in the pew, you know, sitting there snacking while they have a service. But there's no change. There's no repentance. It's all the same. You turn on your television channels. And there are your false prophets telling you, you know, oh, you can get rich, you can get this, you can get that, God will heal you, all the kind of things, you know, just promises, promises, promises. But there's no change. I didn't have my statistic with me today. But this is the latest statistic, folks. The latest statistics, what I learned. 70% of all men in America, in churches, are hooked on pornography. 70% of the men, they've done a research on it. And they found out that about 60% of every pastor in America is hooked on pornography. Churches do not speak about this. You're not going to get pastors getting up and talk about this. Because when you're hooked on pornography, you're not going to talk about it. It's a scourge. And we, as a people, need to say, God, we cannot break this bondage. It is too big. It is too hard for us. We need a revival. We need an awakening like we've never seen it before. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to sweep over this land. And where does it start? It starts with you and me. I'm going to take it to the Gospel of John, chapter 9, verse number 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. If you see my summary on the outline, I says God is still the same today. He's not changed. Man is the same. More than 1 billion people worship Allah in the religion of Islam. Another billion worship the Hindu gods. Another billion are bound by the Roman Catholic Church. Others are worshiping Buddha, witchcraft. And then we have greed, sexual perversion, sports of the Western world. Is God pleased with that nation? No, he's not. And so, will repentance come? I want you to think in your personal life. When you came to Christ, some of you had pain. Some of you had so much pain that you were considering committing suicide. Pain brought you to God. Others, somebody prayed for you and brought you to God. But somebody did. And what I want you to take home with you today is this. Jeremiah, he prophesied for 38 years. And at the end of his prophetic ministry, they put him in a dungeon. They sunk him in the mud, and they tried to kill him. He got out of that. He saw the Babylonians come in. He was set free. And he tried to tell the people, Don't go to Egypt. Seek the Lord, the remnant that was left. And they said, shut up, Jeremiah. We're going to do what we're going to do. We're going to still sacrifice to the Queen of Heaven. And they forced him to go to Egypt. And when he'd been there a short time, and he still prophesied, they laid him out on the table, bound him, took one of these big saws, and simply sawed him in half when he was alive. And that's how Jeremiah ended up dying. Was that fair? No. Is that what God wanted? No. But you see, God allows things to happen. So right now, I want you to think about your life. How close are you to God? Do you have hidden sins in your life? Are you one of those that are bound by pornography? Are you one of those that are bound by gambling, alcohol, drugs, opiates, whatever it is? You can't be set free. Jesus right now is saying this. Come to me, and I will set you free. If you're not saved, and you say this, I'm not even saved. The good news is God loves you. He wants to save you today. And all you have to do is to say, God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me for my sins. Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for me, rose the third day. Jesus, come on in. Come on in, Jesus, and save me, and he will. Charles Tavares is going to come when we finish here. You will not see him, but hear him. He would just take that last step for salvation and then pray with you. Contact us. Write us. Let us know that you accepted Christ so that we can help you. And those of you that are saved, many of you are walking with Christ. You're God's chosen people. You're right there where you should be. Pray a little bit harder. Pray more for people around you. And ask God, Lord, let your Holy Spirit come. Holy Spirit, come. Convict us of our sins and draw us to you. That should be our prayer. I love you. God bless you. And I'm going to have Brother Soteris come and close in prayer today.
Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you. Thank you for this message, Lord. Let this, Lord, go down deep in our hearts. Touch each and every person, Lord, that heard this message, we pray in the name of Jesus. And let it be an awakening. Let it be a revival in each heart, we pray in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And let us, O Lord, go out. Let that fire that I mentioned last week, O Lord, ignite in us. Oh, let that spark ignite and become a fervent fire, we pray, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. To reach out to the lost. To reach out to those who are hurting. To go to the hospitals. To go wherever. Lord, the Holy Spirit is leading us. And we want to thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, for a mighty breakthrough, Lord. A mighty breakthrough in the peoples, in people, Lord, that are listening to us, ourselves as well. We pray in the name of Jesus. And let it be, O Lord, that fire. Let a revival start, we pray, O Lord, and start in each and every heart. O Lord, the people that are watching us, we pray today. And we want to thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, for what you are going to do. Oh, thank you, Lord, for giving us opportunities. Opportunities, opening doors, Lord, that no man can shut. And witness, O Lord, big time, we pray in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for leading us and guiding us and directing us, oh, Lord. Oh, thank you, Heavenly Father, for what you have in store, Lord, for these people, Lord, we pray. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Let us not, oh, Lord, do like the Israelites did, the Lord. They did not care about what's happening around them in the name of Jesus. Oh, they wanted to have a good time and they didn't care about the future, what the future was gonna do. But we thank you, Heavenly Father, for, oh Lord, thank you for directing us, for guiding us, for convicting us. We pray in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, we want to give you all the praise. We want to give you all the glory, all the honor. And this prayer we pray in Jesus' precious and mighty name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but three of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send his Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." You see, God offers his love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, he will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, he will do for you. If you call out to him, he will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All he wants for you is to come to him. He will help anybody who calls out to him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, he will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, You're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 10th part in the series, The Prophet Jeremiah, and was entitled, Judgment Without Mercy. When Jeremiah called for Judah to repent, his proclamation was negated by the prophets and priests who told the people not to worry, mistakenly believing that since the temple was located in Jerusalem, God would certainly not allow it to be destroyed. God revealed the catastrophic destruction that occurred prior to the creation of Adam and Eve, and yet He was willing to pardon the people of Judah if just one righteous person could be found in Jerusalem. Sadly, there was nothing but deception among the people, and Jeremiah summarized them as being without understanding. Why would God pardon them when they wallowed in sin? The entire political system in Judah had become corrupt, and dishonest businessmen had become rich, oppressing the poor. The prophets spoke lies and the priests were corrupt. Why would the Lord save Judah from destruction when they blatantly ignored Him? The thick walls of Jerusalem would be destroyed and the city would be put to fire as a reminder to the people of their rebellion. The nation of Judah never repented as a whole, but certain individuals were blessed when they sought the Lord and were used by Him. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1660. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.